Empress of Fiji. My Old Spice is missing! No!
Discover, this is Daniela.
Hi, it's Jennifer Coolidge. I just want to thank you for making me feel so special. I earned cash back on debit for my dinner party groceries.
That's great, but with Discover Cashback Debit, we give everyone cash back on everyday purchases. Anything else I can help you with?
Do you like asparagus and mushroom sorbet? I've got leftovers.
Introducing Discover Cashback Debit, a checking account with cash back. It pays to Discover. Eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
We're here because you're here. Shopping locally and listening locally. On your radio, smartphone, computer, and tablet. Real Country, 1430 AM stereo. WRDN, Durand, Kellogg, Stockholm. And 107.3 FM. Translator, W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Peyton Gendron, the gunman who researched, plotted, and carried out a racially motivated mass shooting at a Buffalo supermarket, will face the death penalty in the federal hate crimes case. It's the first death penalty case Attorney General Merrick Garland has pursued in a DOJ case. Peyton killed 10 black shoppers in May of 2022. Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown reacting to the decision.
When you have masses of people that are killed by a shooter, innocent people whose lives are snuffed out, I think the death penalty should apply.
The 20-year-old already serving multiple life sentences after pleading guilty to state charges. All 50 states under some type of weather alert. Midwest residents hunkering down due to blizzard conditions, including Iowa, where the caucuses are now just 3 days out. The U.S. says the airstrikes against Houthi rebels in Yemen were in response to the militant group's attacks on commercial ships in the Red Sea. This is ABC News. The Biden administration rolling out a new program to give student loan borrowers some relief.
The new student loan debt relief program announced by the Biden administration is aimed at helping people who initially took out smaller loan balances and have been paying those loans down for over a decade. It's part of the SAVE plan, a new income-driven repayment plan the administration rolled out last year. People qualify if they had less than $12,000 as their initial student loan balance and have been paying it down for 10 years. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona tells ABC,
if you're paying it for 10 years, it's enough. They've done their part, and it's time to release that debt so they can move on and continue to grow in their finances at home.
Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Researchers say a fossil unearthed years ago is an older, more primitive relative to T-Rex. Their findings based on a partial skull that was found in southern New Mexico. Scientists say they've determined the specimen predated T-Rex by up to 7 million years. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day. And for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry, with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help. So you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, quickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Proposed legislation would toughen penalties against drivers who flee police.
Milwaukee area Representative Bob Donovan says too many of those drivers kill people.
It is sickening, the devastation that they leave in their wake.
Mark Hagan's 32-year-old daughter, Erin Mogensen, and her unborn child were killed last November when a fleeing felon struck her vehicle.
Stop ignoring the carnage and death created by reckless driving and the criminals like my daughter's killer who turn automobiles into killing tools.
Donovan's bill increases penalties and mandatory minimum sentences for various offenses involving fleeing an officer. At the Capitol, Bob Hague, Wisconsin Wisconsin Radio Network.
A former Roman Catholic cardinal charged with sexual assault has been found incompetent to stand trial.
A Walworth County judge made the ruling this week in the case against 92-year-old Theodore McCarrick, who has dementia. The court will review the case again in late December of this year. McCarrick is accused of sexually assaulting a boy at a residence in Lake Geneva. Back in 1977, the charge against McCarrick arose from a report to Wisconsin's Clergy and Faith Leader Abuse Initiative. Now, McCarrick never lived or worked in Wisconsin, but he made visits here and was able to be charged because the statute of limitations on child sex abuse pauses if the perpetrator leaves the state and does not return. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Here's further information on remains found on Wisconsin tribal lands. Menominee Tribal Police and the FBI say their investigation found that the human skeleton discovered by a hunter October 30th on the Menominee Indian Reservation belonged to an adult male between the ages of 23 and 33 who had been dead for a range between 1 and 10 years. Authorities say the remains don't match a known missing person from the reservation or the surrounding area.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A winter storm warning is in effect now. Snow will become heavy at times, putting down 3 to 5 inches today. Winds will start to whip up to 35 miles per hour, blowing and drifting snow, recovering roads and creating treacherous travel. As a lighter and fluffier snow falls tonight, laying down another 3 to 5 inches. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 16 degrees at our studio.
That rumbling you hear outside could be one of two things. It could be the wind gusting to 40 miles per hour, or it might be the USDA dump trucks leaving after unloading a pile of data on the grain markets. We'll break down the reports, including that record corn yield, and take a look how it all might influence 2024 crop marketings.
Live with our ag abacus begging for math mercy via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Jeff Peterson from Heartland Farm Partners. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much. I was going to say that it could be three things, one of three things.
One of
but
three.
Because there's not many bulls left in the grain markets, it's hard to say that a third option would have been the bulls stampeding away from the grain markets.
No, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's not many bulls left to stampede.
I think there's one, like, three-legged steer kind of dragging himself away, and that's what that looks like.
Yeah, there's one bull left, but we call him Gomer.
He's got a lot of heart, though, doesn't he?
He does. You know? He does.
Tries
That's
his
right.
best.
Yep, yep. Welcome to AgriTalk. It is USDA report day, and I mean big USDA report day, and we're going to break it all down. We've got Jeff Peterson from Heartland Farm Partners standing by to dig into some of the numbers. And I tell you, the record national average corn yield is something that popped right off the page when we saw it. I didn't think that the number that would be most surprising would come from the annual production summary, but there it is. Wow. What a record national average corn yield in a growing season like we had, dude. In a growing season like we had.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot to talk about surrounding that estimate and what this estimate, what it might mean to the quarterly grain stocks reports going forward, what it might mean to the market the next time that we have less than ideal growing conditions out there in the Midwest. This a lot of implications from this number. There's no question about it.
Bro,
I got a number. I got a number. You want? You want to hear it?
Yeah.
725. Mm-hmm. I got a quote here. July 25th. This from Mr. Chip Flory. This may be unpopular, but the crops actually look pretty good.
Yeah.
You saw it all along, bro. You pulled the future forward.
Oh, I don't know
That's what you did.
I went out there on tour. I went out on crop tour and thought that I was looking at a crop that was hurt worse than what it was.
Yeah, but this was pre-crop tour, though.
Yeah, I know. I know.
All right.
But, you know, you fast forward a month from that time, and you're right in the middle of crop tour. And, yeah, it was hard to believe that the crop wasn't getting hurt. But Nebraska comes back at 182 for a state average yield. Holy smokes. Big numbers out there.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Let's get to some of the details.
Chip, spillover pressure from corn and soybean futures weighed on wheat prices today. USDA this morning estimated winter wheat seedings at 34.425 million acres. That's down 2.274 million from a year ago, nearly 1.4 million below the average pre-report trade guess.
Man.
Hard red winter wheat seedings are down 1.7 million from a year ago. SRW acres down 500,000. White winter acres also down 100,000 from last year. USDA put December 1 wheat stocks in all positions, 1.41 billion bushels, 23 million more than traders expected. And finally, Chip, 23-24 wheat carryover is estimated at 648 million bushels. That is down 11 million from last month, 10 million bushels below trade expectations. At the close, March HRW wheat futures 0.75 cents lower, 615 and a quarter. March SRW wheat down 7 3/4 to 596. March spring wheat closed at 699 and one half. Chip, that's down a half cent.
All right. And on the week, March soft red winter wheat futures down 20 cents. March HRW down 12 3/4 and March spring wheat futures down 12 1/2 cents. We're looking for demand now, Davis. That's the bottom line. Exports are 775 million bushels. We got to do something to find some additional demand for wheat.
Yeah, and we did see some traditional buyers show up for other crops during this week here. Be nice to get them in the wheat. USDA now puts the 2023 corn crop at a record 15.342 billion bushels. That's 108 million bushels above the November crop production report, 116 million above trade expectations. USDA raised the national average corn yield 2.4 bushels from November to a record 177.3 bushels per acre. Chip, that was partially offset by a 583,000-acre cut to harvested area. December 1, stocks of corn in all positions, 12.169 billion bushels. That was 119 million bushels above trade expectations and above USDA's estimate of 23-24 corn carryover at 2.162 billion bushels. That's up 31 million from last month, 57 million above the average pre-report trade guess. March corn futures, 10 3/4 lower, 447. May corn down, 10 3/4, 459. July corn futures closed to 468 and one quarter, down 10 3/4.
Yeah, not much spread action there in the old crop corn futures today. Trying to figure out exactly what that might mean for us going forward. And there's a lot of uncertainty in old crop corn now after getting that record national average corn yield out there. March corn on the week, down 13 3/4 cents. July corn on the week, down 15 1/2 cents.
USDA now puts the 2023 soybean crop at 4.165 billion bushels. That's up 36 million from November, 38 million above trade expectations. USDA raised the national average soybean yield by 0.7 of a bushel to 50.6 bushels per acre and cut harvested acres by 435,000. December 1 soybean stocks in all positions at 3 billion bushels was 25 million above trade expectations. USDA puts 23-24 soybean carryover at 280 million bushels. That's up 35 million from December and 37 million above the average pre-report trade estimate. March beans were 12 1/4 lower, 12.24 and a quarter. May beans down 12 1/4, 12.35 3/4. July beans closed at 12.44 and a quarter, down 11 3/4 cents. Chip, of all the markets, it feels like in the soybeans it could have been worse.
Well, it certainly could have been, and there wasn't much spread action there either. I think that's telling us that they're trying to figure out what's going on next. March beans on the week, down 32 cents. July beans on the week, down 25 1/2. March bean oil, up 62 points. March soybean meal was down $7.30. Now, also, December corn on the week, down 12 and a quarter. November beans down 7 cents on the week. The corn bean price ratio 2.49 at the end of this week.
Oh, look at that. Wow. Okay. USDA puts 23-24 cotton carryover at 2.9 million bales. That's down 200,000 bales from December. March cotton 5 points lower on the day, 81.31 chip on the week.
Up 112 points.
Hey. On your livestock, double-digit losses in corn helped feeder cattle futures close modestly higher, while fat cattle futures gave back a bit of the early week gains. February fat cattle down 42.5, 171.37.5. March feeders up 30 cents, 227.70. And on the snout side, the string of higher closes in lean hog futures ended at 6, with the market under moderate pressure. Profit-taking noted ahead of the three-day weekend. Feb hogs 70 cents lower, 71.90. April down 42.5, 78.62.5 chip.
All right. February live cattle on the week up 80 cents, 80 cents. March feeder cattle on the week up $3.55. And February lean hog futures up $1.90. That was a lot of detail from the reports there in Davis's News. And we're going to break that apart a little bit, take it in a little bit smaller chunks, and get some perspective from Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners, up next here on AgriTalk.
Up with the AgMarket.net team in Music City as the company will host its Farming for Profit Not Price Conference February 4th and 5th. Aside from the AgMarket.net team, Dan Bozzi, Brian Burke, Randy Dowdy, Dave Hightower, Eric Snodgrass, Joe Vaklovic, and Mackenzie Johnson will all be there. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to register. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
This is Andrew McCray, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, for strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. You know, doesn't Hanson just give you warm, fuzzy feelings here on this cold day? Yeah? No?
No.
Not really?
It's not doing the trick. Kerosene.
What?
Kerosene is what gives me that warm feeling in weather like this. There's no substitute.
Let's get some oak and some L fired up in the fireplace,
right.
Baby.
You got it. You got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Forget about Hanson on the radio.
Who needs him?
Who needs
They're probably in California. You know, what do they know?
Exactly. Exactly. Sure. You know, we got to hurry up and get this show done. And the reason I say that is because it's still 21 degrees.
Okay? Seriously?
Okay. Yeah, still 21 degrees. What that means is I can get out and move a bunch of snow before it starts getting really, really cold, which is going to happen shortly after the sun goes down this afternoon, which isn't all that far off right now. Okay, we got to get to it. We've got a lot of ground to cover with Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners. He joins us right now. Jeff, buddy, thank you for making time for us. How are you?
Doing great, Chip. So, you know, one of the things, I don't know if you remember us talking about this, but, you know, you brought up snow removal. I was thinking if I came on the show today, weren't you talking something about you're going to come move snow that we've got piled up around here?
Right, right. Little compensation. Little
Can
compensation
confirm.
Coming your way.
Moving,
moving snow for you. You just keep waiting for that to show up, Jeff.
You're going to go ahead and get started on my own.
Jeff. I've got a half mile lane. I'm gonna spend all my time working on that one. All right.
Well, fair enough. All right.
How are you? Everything okay?
Oh yeah, doing good. You know, unfortunately, we're about 5 degrees, and I was up in South Dakota yesterday morning. It was about 3 below, so we're gonna get pretty cool here. We got a lot of wind going on, a lot of snow, but the thing I kind of look at it kind of matches up exactly what the markets are doing, I guess.
Yeah, it sure does. Freezing over is what it looks like to me, and we need to dig into some of the details. Go to the WASDE report and start with the big one, corn. What did you see in that report? Because it's kind of a compilation of all the other reports piled into one. What did you see there?
Yeah, the thing is, we dig in. You guys did a great job touching on, you know, that yield at a 177.3, new record yield, new record production, also out of the top end of what the estimates were for where the yield was going to be, and also where we were going to have the U.S. production on corn, which is kind of surprising to us, I guess. Sitting here in Nebraska, you'd mentioned earlier a 182 yield for Nebraska. Boy, that's a hard one for us to stomach. We've got a lot of our customers that are in the eastern part of the state that have, you know, the irrigation. And honestly, most all those guys were off from last year and ultimately on the dry land side also. But you know, nevertheless, the numbers are out there. The market trades it and we move on from there. I guess as we get to the bottom line, we got to go to the ending stock number. Yep. And, you know, overall, Chip, you look at it, we raise production up, you know, 108 million bushels on the corn side. But, you know, the ending stock number only came up 31 million bushels. And really, even though that was about 57 million more than the average guess, it is 801 million bushels more than what, you know, the ending stock number was for last year. But overall, I really thought the market handled this, you know, pretty well. We had a pullback. We'd expect to see a pullback. But when we look at the market in here and we see that, you know, March corn closed about 6 cents off the low. Yeah, even though it's down, it's a win.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. You know, the first close under 450 in the March contract, we got to respect that. We got to understand that does open some additional downside risk, doesn't it?
It does. And a few things getting back into the report. So we touched on the price a little bit. But, you know, we dig in and there was some positives over there. And I think we will see more coming down the road. You know, we did see on the demand side, we saw them increase the ethanol, 50 million bushels.
Yep.
We ended up seeing them bring up, you know, the feed and residual 25.
Yep.
So we got 75 million more on the domestic. You know, and I thought, you know, I was a little surprised there on the export side. I thought we had room to bring the export number up, but I think there'll be room for that as we look down the road.
Okay. All right. You know, one thing that we cannot forget in all of this, when we look at that record yield, 177.3, is part of the reason they got there is because they took, what, 500,000 acres off the harvested. So if you took the lowest yielding 500,000 acres out, the end result did not add that much to the corn crop, did it?
No, it didn't. And that's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. I think we got to be careful here when we look at these numbers. I think the market immediately and everybody looks at that yield number, but we really got to get our eyes clear, driven down right into that ending stock number. It wasn't that big of adjustment. I think the biggest thing that everybody was looking at, everybody was looking, or not everybody, but the trade was looking for ending stocks to go down. And when that didn't happen and we raise and go higher, that just kind of takes the wind out of everybody's sail.
Yeah, it certainly does. Did you run the harvested acreage percentage? I didn't.
Actually, I didn't either, Chip.
Okay, we'll do that during the break and take a look at it. I just want to see if it's out of whack or not. So we'll do that during the break. But there's lots of movement going on there. But doggone it, Jeff, I'm telling you, if we get some hot weather and dry weather, June, July, June and into July of 2024 or 25 or 26, the lessons that we learned in 2023, those are going to be hard to forget, isn't it?
Yeah, it is going to. And I think that's something that we're seeing. And, if you sit back and just take a look at years ago when let's just talk about wheat for a second and how the market responds, and I'll tie this back over. You think about 20, 25 years ago, Chip, anytime there was any hint of winter kill happening, what happened to the wheat market? It just exploded, right?
Yeah.
Well, now anymore, all of a sudden you have cold conditions. The market goes, it's got nine lives. It'll be fine. And that's the same thing. What you said was very important. We come back over and look at how these yields handled the conditions they did. And all of a sudden, it's going to make it so that the funds, the speculative traders, aren't going to be as quick to jump on this market. But the other thing I think it also does, look out when we finally do end up getting a good year. And we're due for a good year. And when we get a good one, we will raise a much bigger crop than we really realize can happen.
You're right. You're right. We kind of keep joking about the trend line yield being an untouchable trend. Here we are, 177.3. The trend line yield for last year was 181.5. If we even touch the trend and have a record yield, that's a lot of corn bushels that we're going to be dealing with when that finally happens, especially, Jeff, if we're 91, 92 million on planted corn acres in 24.
Oh, absolutely. And, later on in the show here, we're going to touch on some thoughts on where we could end up there. So, yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, 91.4% on that harvested acreage percentage. So,
okay.
That's right in the ballpark with where it normally is.
I would have almost thought, and I'm glad you brought that up, I'd almost thought, based on what we ended up seeing out there, we actually might have seen even a bigger adjustment on those harvested acres. Obviously, what's done is done. But just based on the amount of acres, and you saw it when you were out on tour, how there was a lot of acres. They were just zeroed out.
Yep.
And and normally a lot of years we might have years where stuff drowns out. This would have been a year where definitely in the areas on the dry land it just didn't make it or got chopped.
Right, right. Let's go over to the soybeans. What'd you see in the supply and demand report?
As you dig in on that, honestly, soybeans, as you look at it, 41 million bushels higher is what the ending stock number came in than what the average guess is. Now, that's only up about 12 million bushels for the 2012 crop and up about 35 million bushels from where the December report is. And, I think on the soybean side, there's a lot of positives out there. If we dig in and look at it, exports isn't one of them. I mean, there's probably room as we go down the road. There was no adjustment on the export side, but there's probably room for the export number to go down as we go forward. But I think any adjustment that we do bring down on exports, I think will be more than offset by what we end up seeing on the crush side. So I think that's a real positive that can go on there. I think also the fact remains on the bean side is that beans, even though we've got enough beans, it wouldn't take much of an adjustment in South America. Now, I realize that as we look at South America, Argentine production much higher than it was last year. That's offsetting some of the loss that we end up having coming out of Brazil. But it doesn't take many bushels to get slid away from beans. And all of a sudden, you get to a point where it's like, we need to bring this market back up higher. And the other thing that I look at in here is that on the March soybeans, 12.24 and a quarter is where we closed. About 21 cents off what the low was today. Overall, Chip, based on this information, what we had, that was a good close.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's an awesome point. And, you know, we always try to make mention, and it didn't happen today, but we always try to make mention of, you know, where does the market open? Where does the market close? It was right at mid-range that the market closed today. So it was it was a nice comeback. It was a nice comeback. We'll see if we can build on that. We got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to start taking a look at the world numbers when we come back with Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners, here on AgriTalk.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where March HRW wheat futures were 0.75 cents lower at 615 and one quarter. March SRW wheat down 7 3/4 to 596. March corn futures were 10 3/4 lower, 447. May corn down 10 3/4, 459. March soybean futures 12 1/4 cents lower, 12.24 1/4. May beans down 12 1/4 to close at 12.35 3/4. March cotton was 5 points lower, 81.31. On your livestock, spent fat cattle down 42.5 to 171.37 1/2. March feeders were up 30 cents to 27.70. And February lean hog futures 70 cents lower at 71.90. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
A lot goes into powering this community. That's why your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wants you to know we've got you. It's a pledge to make sure you're always taken care of. A pledge we honor every day. From our member service representatives to our linemen and those making sure the power you use is there when you need it, we've got you. Always.
Riverland Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Shawls Gas, downtown Durand, is your authorized Whirlpool dealer. Reputation, quality, pricing, and personal service are what Shawls customers have come to know and trust. Shawls offers a full line of Whirlpool appliances, including dishwashers, microwaves, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers, with installation and service. Clean, cost-effective propane offered by Shawls is the answer for your home energy needs. Visit Shawls Gas for all of your propane and Whirlpool appliance needs. Shawls Gas, downtown Durand.
What is your greatest asset? A house? Your portfolio? What about your health? Your health is the most precious commodity you have. I'm Nikki Gillis, nurse practitioner from Provisions Health. Let Provisions Health protect that commodity with affordable health care and testing services for individuals, families, and businesses across Western Wisconsin. When you visit provisions.health, you will find information on health services and upfront pricing so that there are no surprises. Providing affordable health care and testing solutions for Western Wisconsin. Provisions Health, 3rd Avenue West, across from Security Financial Bank, Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A winter storm warning is in effect now. Snow will become heavy at times, putting down 3 to 5 inches today. Winds will start to whip up to 35 miles per hour, blowing and drifting snow, recovering roads and creating treacherous travel. As a lighter and fluffier snow falls tonight, laying down another 3 to 5 inches. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 16 degrees at our studio.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you're with us. Go over the USDA winter wheat seedings, annual production summary, quarterly grain stocks, supply and demand report that we got from USDA this morning. We're breaking it down with Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners. Jeff, in the last segment, we spent a lot of time on the production report, on the domestic supply and demand. Take us over to the global numbers. Start with corn. I don't like the year-to-year trends in the corn numbers, that's for sure.
No, definitely not. As we look at those world corn ending stock numbers, you know, up 25.1 million metric tons. But here's where there's some of the surprises and some of the question marks I think that get raised, Chip. Even though that was outside of the range of estimates, the top side, the big reason for that really comes back to China. And if we dig in and look at the production number, they raised their production number from the December report here to January, 11.8 million metric tons, so almost 400 million bushels. That's a big number and a big question mark, while they only increased domestic feed a couple. So as we look at that increase on the stock side, you know, 9.84 million of that's coming out of the adjustment that was made in China.
That's a that's a big number there, but boy, like you said, that number that you featured, 24.7 million tons above what we were a year ago on the global carryover projection, that's going to be a wet blanket over this market. What about on the South American production estimates? Leaving Brazil at 127 million metric tons on corn seems a little optimistic, doesn't it?
I think it's very optimistic, but the thing I think that at least we did get here is that it did come down 2 million metric tons from where it was, and it's going in the right direction. And I guess as we dig into the detail of what was going on there, in my mind, really all they're reflecting so far is some known adjustments that probably will end up being made on some of the acreage. They're being conservative on that Safrinha corn crop. They've got a little bit of adjustment that they made, I think, because of probably the first crop corn. I think where we could see some big adjustments coming down the road is on that Safrinha corn crop yield, but it also still could be some further adjustments also on the acres too. So if we think about what's going on down in South America right now, you know, harvest is probably about 1% complete on those soybeans. And, you know, you got a number of items. One, some of those acres on the beans got planted later, so we know that that's going to physically push back when they get that Safrinha corn crop planted.
Right.
There's also some talk in there that maybe we bring in continued wetter conditions yet. Now, that could help the beans, but it could also slow up bean harvest. And then as we look at some of the longer-term weather models, and I realize there's always a lot of debate that can happen around that,
yep.
We also start seeing, as we get out into April, April's a key month there. If the wet season holds on a little longer and gets out into May, great for that Safrinha crop. But there's some starting to talk about that ending early. So if you plant that Safrinha crop early, or excuse me, late, you all of a sudden have it pollinating and going through ear fill in a drier than normal period, which is April always, but you shut the moisture down. We could have some big adjustments yet that can happen on South American production. And I think we will see it. I just think it's too early to make some big adjustments on the corn side yet. But but that's where I guess I look down the road. And there's still some optimism there for price action because of that weather market that could happen on the Brazilian corn yet, Chip.
Okay. All right. The year-to-year trend on the soybean global carryover, it's not as bad as it is on corn, but it's still not going in the right direction.
It's not. You know, 12.7 million metric tons higher, that's definitely not going in the right direction. Now, what I do think, though, is that as we go down the road, I do think there is room to physically bring down that Brazilian yield some more, but the conditions are pretty good in Argentina. So we're going to have to get that Brazilian number down probably in that, you know, 147 type area, probably to get this market real interested in reversing and starting to build in some premium. So I'd agree that that year over year increase on the beans and where bean production is at, that's a little concerning.
Yeah. USDA today put the Brazilian bean crop at 157. Now that was off 4 million tons, but it's still at 157. That's a long ways from 147.
Yeah, it sure is. Now, there's room in there. We'll have to see, you know, as you take a look at when was the crop planted, there's about 40% of that crop, if you look at, that could have been impacted. And what we're seeing on the weather side is that it was, from September through December, I'd say it's one of the hottest, driest on record. So we'll see how that bean crop handled it. It doesn't make you feel real good when you see how the yield adjustment was at USDA made when we had some tough conditions here in the U.S. But beans, we know if we put the warm temps and the heat to them, it does impact the yield, though.
Sure. Okay, let's go to the quarterly grain stocks report. Anything jump out from that?
Well, I think on the quarterly grain stocks, something we have to just kind of keep in mind as we're thinking about basis and stuff going forward. Nothing really out of the ordinary there, but on the corn side, it is 1.3 billion bushels higher than it would have been last December. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of corn out there, so keep that in mind. It's just a matter of getting it to move, and regionally within different areas, it may take basis to do that. And then over on the soybean side, you know, we're about 21 million bushels less than what we would have been last year. So it just speaks to, you know, the tightness. We weren't going to run out of beans, but there's definitely some snugness on that bean crop.
Yeah. Yeah. 64% of the corn crop is stored on farm. That it plays into your basis concerns a little bit. And there's talk that the off-farm stocks, you know, they're up 6.5% from a year ago, but the question is, they may be off farm, but who owns it? If the producer still owns a chunk of those corn bushels that are stored off farm, that's not going to be positive for basis either, Jeff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And then the usage numbers, the implied disappearance numbers, down 7.6% year on year for the quarter in corn. Bean use down 6%, wheat use down 23% from the same period last year. Those numbers are going in the wrong direction when we're looking at price trends the way that they are.
Yeah, no, you're right there also.
Yeah, tough, huh? Okay, so when you mentioned that the bean market had a nice recovery. But how do you think the markets did just handling this data load today?
Well, when you look at the individual charts, if you were to just go in and look at the March corn chart or the March basically daily soybean chart, you'd be a little concerned. But Chip, if you go in and take a look at the weekly charts, actually, I think it actually handled pretty well, and we're coming into some pretty good support. So if we look at that weekly corn chart, and it goes back, and what you're able to do is you're able to draw in a support line. Now, it is a downtrending channel that you're drawing in, but it goes back and looks at where the low would have been back in September at 455 and three quarters, where the low was in November at 447. And then today, we did trade all the way down to 441, but honestly just touched that support level. There's very good support there. And the other positive thing that I see here on how the market handled all this information, handled the negative, but I think the buyers did step in here. We did manage to come back up to the 447 area, and that 447 area takes us right back to where we would have been in November against those December futures, and that would have been the low.
Okay.
So I'm not giving up on this market at all. As a matter of fact, I'm finding we might have had enough of a washout here now to get a few buyers to say, well, wait a minute here. If we have some continued concerns coming out of South America, and we have some demand items that are popping up, we've got the January report behind us and some of those surprises that could happen. So that's on the corn side. And honestly, Chip, it's the same thing on the bean side. If you go in and take a look at the beans and you don't see it, it looks terrible on a daily chart. But you put it on a continuous weekly chart, and that takes you back and you look at the low of 1350 back in October of 2022. You've got a low of 1270 and three quarters in May of 2023. And just below us, and we're on a continuous chart, we'd be using the January soybean numbers. You know, you've got support there really right just below you, about a nickel below. So that's where I'm more optimistic on what I think this market can. You know, maybe it's time to wash out here and we're ready for some recovery.
Yep. Jeff, what I just heard you say is do not get more bearish as prices go down.
Well, exactly. And that's our human emotion. Yep. Right now, based off this report, I can guarantee that most people are going, well, it's never going to stop. It's just going to keep going. Well, prior to coming into this, Chip, I already felt that we were getting a lot of people kind of over on the negative side. Now we've even got more there. So just be careful. I think we've got a chance to see some bounce in that market.
Good counsel. Good counsel there. What does this do to your thoughts about 2024 acres, 2024 marketings?
Yeah, so as we dig into the acre number, one thing that's interesting is overall, it looks like there could be about 5.8 million less acres across corn, beans, and wheat available this next year. Where that comes from is there's probably going to be about 2 million acres more of CRP, probably going to be some additional cotton acres of a couple million. And we can't forget about the fact that on the prevent plant side, our prevent plant number was pretty low this past year. Mm-hmm. Normally, we have about 4.8 million acres of prevent plant. That's about the 17-year average. We think there could be a couple million more acres of prevent plant than this past year. When you pull all that out, all of a sudden you've got less acres of plant. Now you got to decide, where does it go, corn versus beans? And let's say we come in and maybe we pull 3 million acres or so off the corn side chip, you know, or maybe it's a million off the bean side. But I haven't heard a lot of people talk about less acres available across corn, beans, and wheat.
Something that we're going to have to watch for. Jeff, man, I appreciate all your efforts in helping to break these numbers down. Thank you so much, buddy. Stay warm out there.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Chip.
You bet. Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners. Okay, the winter wheat seedings report. We need to go through some of the details there. Then we'll just have some general observations from what was included in the reports from USDA today.
This year, wouldn't it be great to stop dealing with thin, brittle, shedding hair and instead have the thick, healthy, gorgeous hair you've always wanted? Now you can by using Hair Volume from New Nordic. Look for Hair Volume at your local Walgreens and CVS or online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
Purchase new wiper blades from O'Reilly Auto Parts today and we'll install them for free. See better and drive safer with O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Start learning a new language today at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone. I went through it a while back. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text KICK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text KICK to 321-321. That's KICK to 321-321.
Products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Go outside, I wanna be. Felt so much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know? Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson here. Chip Flory is along for the ride as well.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that captures it. Along for the ride. I feel like that minimizes your role here. Chip is here.
No, that's fine.
You know, he's here. He is valid. You know, his ideas are worthwhile.
Okay. Thank you.
And I just want to affirm those before I throw it back over to you, buddy. To talk about the wheat numbers, I got a couple of things I want to drill down on from the conversation with Jeff Peterson. But first, let's get our bases covered here.
Okay.
We got winter wheat seedings to talk about. We got S&Ds, and I'm curious about the global situation too, brother. I don't know where you want to start, but start there.
Let's start on the seedings number.
Yep.
All winter wheat seedings came in at 34.425 million acres. Trade expected 35.8 million. So it's like 1.3 million below what traders expected. It's also off 2.274 million acres from a year ago. It's kind of widespread. HRW acres. We're looking at a 1.7 million acre decline to 24 million. SRW acres down 500,000 to 6.86. And white winter wheat seedings down 104,000 acres from last year to 3.54. On the carryover estimates, here we go. We're looking at 648 million bushels for 2023-24. That was 11 million bushels below the December estimate from USDA, 10 million bushels below the average trade guess. I hate to do this to you, but they cut 12 million from beginning stocks.
Mm.
And there was so much going on today that I didn't get a whole lot of time to go back and look at the comparison to the December numbers for 2022-23 to figure out how they added 12 million. But it's got to be because of the grain stocks number that we got, the December 1 stocks number at 1.41 billion bushels. The trade expected 1.387 billion bushels. So for wheat, when you're 23 million bushels above the average pre-report trade guess, that is nothing to ignore there. That's for sure. Now, on the global numbers, Davis, we talked about the trends from year ago on corn and on soybeans being in the wrong direction. In other words, up and up big, up like 12, almost 13 million ton from year ago on soybean carryover, up 25 million ton from year ago on corn carryover. Now, wheat global carryover is up 1.8 million tons from last month. It's at 260 million ton, but that's still 11.5 million ton below year ago. So month to month, the trend was wrong and bearish, but year to year, the trend is still price friendly on global stocks. So not a terrible report for wheat.
Okay. Okay. Given what Jeff Peterson said here, I think you might be right. Here's his thought. This might have been the washout we've been looking for.
Yeah. Yeah.
In corn and in soybeans. To me, it feels a little more possible in the corn market than in the soybean market, perhaps. Too soon to call a recovery, buddy?
Yeah, too soon. I'm not going to say that it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's too soon to make that call. Here's the thing. How many times did we hear that, boy, there's a lot of bearishness baked into the current market going into these reports? We've been hearing that for at least a week, maybe 10 shows from analysts. And I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, if you're going to fade the bearish data, do you fade it after the bearish data or when everybody's talking about fading the bearish data?
That's a good question.
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
It could be that we cannot forget that the funds are short and they're short big. And if they want to defend their position, Davis, they will defend it. And if that means that the market shows a little bit of optimism, a little bit of upside potential, let's get a short covering rally going here. Boy, they can turn around and turn on the selling and change attitudes back to negative in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely.
But huh? I hope all the speculation that there was a lot of bearish information already baked into the market, and that this could be what it took to give us one last washout before we do get an upside recovery. I sure hope that's right.
Yeah. Yep. Global corn numbers trending higher, but that's influenced by that mysteriously large production figure out of China this year, Chip.
Yeah. Up 11, 12 million ton from last month matches what China has been saying. When was the last time that we thought we should match China on any of their production estimates? I don't know if it makes sense or not, dude.
Yeah, yeah. And just real quickly, there was talk about South America, that USDA would sort of take its cues from CONAB. Let CONAB make the call first, and then USDA would follow incrementally. And I think maybe we've seen that here.
Yeah, I still don't like USDA's corn number.
Seems high.
CONAB's down there at 117, 118 million tons, and USDA's at 127.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a gap.
Yep.
A hell of a gap.
Too much.
All right. Man, I hope you stay warm this weekend.
I'm going to try. You know, they moved that the dark blue clear over to someplace else, so I'm good to go.
Yeah, January 18th through the 22nd, we've got below normal temperatures expected over the eastern three quarters of the country. We've got above normal temperatures out west that are starting to push their way over to the Rockies. Below normal precipitation expected over most of the Midwest as well. In the 8 to 14 day outlook, we've got near normal to below normal temperatures expected in the Midwest. We've even got a shot at some above normal temperatures in North Dakota, western South Dakota, and northern Minnesota. Below normal precipitation expected in the northern areas, near normal to above normal in the southern areas of the Midwest. Thank you so much for listening today. Come back on Monday morning. Conversation with Machinery Pete and Alan Hoskins. It's a three-day weekend, everybody. Enjoy that day. We'll talk to you again Tuesday morning.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you, whether you're in...
How do you measure the human spirit? In pounds? In milliliters? In the distance traveled between yesterday and today? Or maybe there's no way to measure the human spirit. Because as you remind us every day, it simply has no limit. Learn more about how we care for your whole body, mind, and spirit at AdventHealth.com.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And